Yeah, they're on the table. Oh, okay. She's taking Hannah back there. Yeah, there's handouts on the table. One sheet has the verses on there, and then the other sheet has the format that we'll be going over it. I mean, if y'all want one, you don't have to have one. It's up to you. It'd be easier because all the verses that we'll use are on one page. And there won't be a lot of reading this morning, so that's good. It'll just be we'll go with a little bit of a different format, more of an open Bible study. But we'll go over the commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness. The what? It's all different verses, yeah. Right, yeah. There's handouts. It's two per person. They're alternating in there. Uh-oh. Man, I had it perfect. Nah, it's all right. But, yeah, let's open up in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us. Thank you for allowing us to gather together this morning once again. Please watch over all the people that aren't feeling well this morning, Lord, and please heal their bodies. And please help us continue to grow in Christ and learn something from your word this morning. And please watch over the teachers in the back and help the kids learn also. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So Brian's went over something like this before a while back. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Not supposed to lie. There's a lot of different forms that this happens in. And I figure right off the bat we could open it up and people could think and name the different ways that you would call, like, what does it mean to bear false witness? Like, what are all the different forms of it? Lying. Yeah, that's a good one. It's just another way of saying that. Yeah, if it's the same thing but a different word, that's useful too. Because if you ever go to look it up in your Bible, then at least you know what it's called. What's some other ones? Bye. What? Oh, yeah. Any other ways that people can think of? Misleading. Okay. I didn't have that one written down. Yeah. Like, that would almost be like exaggerating in a way. But misleading is a little different. That's good. Yep. Gossiping. And rumors. Yep. I got both of those. In the Bible, one of them is called a talebearer, somebody who, it's sort of like flattery, but it's also somebody who spreads lies and spreads secrets and things like that. Another one is slander. That's another way of bearing false witness. Yeah, slander, because those are Bible terms. It's easier to look it up with some of these. The what?
Backbiting.
Oh, backbiting. Yeah, that's a good one. That's actually a Bible term too. Backbiting. Another way is in the Bible called being a false accuser. That's a way to bear false witness. I mean, it's two ways if you're just looking at the lie. One way is you're lying to protect yourself. That would be, there's examples of that in the Bible. The other way is you're actually spreading false information about somebody else. So it's not just technically all sin affects everybody, but sometimes when people lie, they're just doing it to get themselves out of trouble. They don't want to accept the consequences. But then there's a different lying where you're actually hurting other people. You're spreading false information about other people. And in the Bible, when God says bearing false witness, he's talking about both of those. Another one is flattery. Brian had brought that up a long time ago. Flattery is a form of bearing false witness. Whenever you flatter somebody, you don't necessarily have to be lying to them, but what's in your heart is a lie. You can be telling them the truth, but in your heart, you're doing it to try to move them or get them, you know, to a certain place that you want them. So the lie is inside of your heart. That's the reason why you're telling them what you are. In the Bible, two more examples that we have is pretense and eye service. In the New Testament, we're told that if you are, and we'll go a little more in detail. This is just a list right here. But if you are working for an employer, do it wholeheartedly as unto the Lord. Don't just do it to give eye service to your employer. And God calls that being a men pleaser, because you're not really doing your job the way that you're supposed to when the boss isn't looking. You're only doing it when he's looking because you want to impress him. And that's very similar to doing things with pretense. And that's actually on your list. That's actually Mark 12:40. Jesus was talking about the Pharisees. They devour widows' houses and for pretense make long prayers. These shall receive the greater damnation. So they didn't really mean the prayers that they were doing. They were doing them because they were just faking it. They were just trying to look good in front of people. All of the verses on your list, they're all in biblical order. So it's a lot easier to find what we're going to go over. And then we mentioned exaggeration. That's like bending the truth a little bit, misleading somebody. You're telling somebody something, but you just change things a little bit, just a little bit, to make it sound better than it really is. And that's a form of bearing false witness. Like, you're not telling the whole truth. You're just telling part of it. White lie. White lie, yeah. Like, or another thing I got listed is like a half-truth, you know, like white lie, like Abraham, you know, hey, Sarah's my sister. And he's like, I told the truth in a way, she is, but she's also my wife. So, hearsay is another one. Lying by omission. Yeah. Leaving stuff out on purpose. If you're going to tell somebody something, you misrepresent them by what you say. So you could do this with your words by changing the way that you actually represent them, by purposely leaving out words of the situation. We kind of talked about that. But you can also do it with their tone. You can do it with the way that you're talking to about the person. I'm trying to think of an example. Like a person was like, well, man, I didn't really like the message that well, but I guess it was okay. And then you go and you talk to them and they said, yeah, they didn't like the message. Or like, you know, you really emphasize certain words. That's false witness. Like, you're not telling the truth. And you say, well, I said the same words that they're saying, but it's not the truth. You're purposely misrepresenting them because you want them to look bad. A lie is a lie. Yeah. In the Bible, you also have, I was thinking of it in other, because every time I think of it, I always think of like in biblical talk and religious circles and things like that. But also you have like car salesmen, false balances. That's a big thing in the Bible, buying and selling from people. Anissa said Facebook Marketplace, you know, like, yeah, it works the last time I used it, and it was like 20 years ago or something. Okay, like, you're purposely leaving stuff out. Selling things that are broken. In the Bible, they went by weight, and they would purposely mess with the balances a little bit so they could give themselves a little cut. And then deception is another word to describe lying or bearing false witness. So, now that we have all the terms, okay, I got I just thought of 8 reasons why you shouldn't do this. And this is for personal reasons. This is for you personally. You're looking at yourself, ways that you can keep yourself from doing these things. And I'm mostly focusing on false accusing, slander, things like that, because that's the most practical. So ways that you can keep yourself from doing these things, or reasons why you shouldn't do these things. What are some of the reasons that y'all can think of? Makes you look bad. Yeah? And as we go through, I'll go ahead and that I got number 8 for that. You lose trust with people. People won't trust you anymore. Yeah. They for that example specifically, I mean that's a consequence of one of the other things I was thinking of, but that example would be similar to Proverbs 20:19 on the paper. In 20:19 it says, a false witness shall not be unpunished. Proverbs 20:19. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. And now here comes the commandment. Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. It's actually a commandment for you to not be around people who spread lies and who false accuse. And one of the reasons why is they're going to lose your trust. You're not going to trust them anymore. Like Mary Beth said, it's like the boy that cried wolf. And eventually you're going to question everything that they say. So God tells you, well, go ahead and take the initiative and don't be around those people. So it actually ends up hurting you in the process of that. What are some other reasons why? One reason is you're supposed to love people. You're supposed to love the very people that you claim to love. If you're a Christian, Jesus tells you, love the brethren. So why are you slandering or false accusing the very people that you're supposed to be loving? And for that, those on that paper, and I just picked out some random verses of the Bible go along with this. On the paper, we could start with 1 John 4:20. That's at the very bottom. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? So you're commanded to love the brethren. And then right after that, they might say, well, I do love them, I do love them. Well, look at Proverbs 10:18. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. So Proverbs 10:18 is telling you, this is one of the reasons why people slander other people. He says in the first part of the verse, you're hiding hatred with your lying lips. You're lying about these people because in your heart, you hate them. You don't like them, and you're not loving them the way that God commanded us to love the brethren. The next verse I have on that's on the paper is Romans 14:15. That's right in the middle. And this is in context of you. I mean, the context of Romans 14 is things that aren't specifically a sin, but is going to offend your brother. So if it's going to offend them, it's going to hurt their conscience, don't do it. And Paul is concluding a lot of this with saying, but if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy him not with thy meat, for whom Christ died. That person that you talk about behind their back, you slander them, you backbite them, Jesus Christ died for them. He shed his blood for them. And we're not supposed to hurt the very people that we're commanded to love. So we need to speak the truth. The last verse that I had on that was Proverbs 11:13. It says, a talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. And Joseph was a prime example of that when he did not put away Mary, or he was going to put her away privately instead of making her a public example. He was going to conceal the matter because that was his way of loving her. Luckily, an angel told them, don't worry about it. But yeah, so love is a very good motivator on why we shouldn't slander or hurt people. Can y'all think of another one? Yeah, you could hinder the gospel of Jesus Christ. You could hinder truth from coming about. If you don't watch the words that are coming out of your mouth, you might have a tendency to always bend the truth in everything that you say. And it's like, hey, sometimes people want something that's concrete. It's right there. They know that what you're speaking is true. And yeah, you're hindering the gospel. I mean, along the lines of that could be misrepresenting Christ. It's similar to what she was saying. I have that as number 6 on mine. We're supposed to be blameless. We're supposed to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not supposed to cause people to blaspheme His name. In the Old Testament, David, I mean, it wasn't lying or slander, but David caused people to blaspheme the name of God. Israel caused people to blaspheme the name of God. He tells you in the New Testament that the Gentiles blaspheme God's name because of this. So with that, on the paper, Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16 goes along with that. This is a commandment that the Apostle Paul is giving the New Testament church. And he says, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. So he doesn't want us to murmur or dispute, and it goes along with lying, slandering, saying things that aren't true. We're supposed to be blameless. We're supposed to be harmless. We're not supposed to be hurting people. We're supposed to be without rebuke. Brian went over that a few, like last week or the week before with Titus. One of the prerequisites for being a bishop is you have to be blameless. Well, that doesn't mean that people aren't going to accuse you. It means that the accusation isn't going to stick. So they can bring forth the accusations. You know, they can try rebuking you, but it's not actual legitimate rebuke. It's lies that they would have to bring against you. And he goes on in Philippians 2, in the middle of a crooked and perverse nation. So all the people around you think that slandering and lying, bending the truth, you know, just twisting it a little bit, that's okay. But you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to shine as lights in the world. An example of this is Daniel. Daniel was in Babylon, and they gave a commandment. He says, no, I'm not going to obey that commandment. I'm going to keep my integrity with the Lord. And he was falsely accused for that, of blaspheming the king. And he accepted the consequences, and God delivered him. So that was pretty neat. He did what the right thing was to do. So another verse with that is on that paper, 1 Peter 3:16. That's at the bottom of the paper. Peter says, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you, as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. So you have good conversation, not bad conversation. In order for them to accuse you, it has to be a false accusation that they have to do towards you. Not you falsely accusing other people, them falsely accusing you. And that's the way the Christians should live their life. Another one is the fact that it's a commandment. And because of the fact that it's a commandment, there's consequences for breaking God's commandments. On that paper in Proverbs 19:9, very harsh. Solomon says here, a false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall perish. This is very, very serious in the eyes of God. People who tell lies and do not, you know, hold information back. They don't speak the truth. In Deuteronomy 19, that's the second one on the paper. That one is kind of interesting. And it's a little comical for people today. I think it is in a way. But this is the Lord says, if a false witness rise up against any man to testify against him, that which is wrong. So somebody's gonna accuse someone, okay? Then both the men between whom the controversy is shall stand before the Lord, before the priest and the judges, and which shall be in those days. And the judges shall make diligent inquisition. That means they're going to question them. They're going to search the matter out. They're going to prove them. And behold, if the witness be a false witness and hath testified falsely against his brother, then shall ye do unto him as he had thought to have done unto his brother. You're going to get what you do unto other people. So shalt thou put away evil from among you, and those which remain shall hear and fear, and shall henceforth commit no more any such evil among you. And I've heard jokes that pastors have made. It's like, imagine if this law was here in America today. You would have a whole lot less lawsuits going on. I'm suing this restaurant for this whatever, and I didn't know that the floor was wet, and I want $1 million. Okay, but if I find out that you're lying, you owe them $1 million. Okay, I'm not going to sue them. But when you think of the consequences, these are serious consequences. You're gonna shoot your mouth at other people. Imagine if the same thing was done to you. And if you're found out, then you would have that punishment done right back to you. And that would be really bad. In 1 Timothy 5:20, he says, that's a little toward the bottom, about two-thirds of the way down. Them that sin, rebuke before all, that others also may fear. So this is a commandment that Paul is giving to Timothy, who is a bishop. And he's saying, oh, you find out that people are lying? Or this is sin in general. I would imagine this is a pretty grievous sin. But what ends up happening, a consequence of this, is you are rebuked before all. That would be very, very embarrassing, very shameful if this went on today and stuff was called out. Imagine if you're lying or backbiting against people and that's called out. And yeah, and the purpose of that back then is, and now also, is that other people will fear whenever that happens. They think, I don't want that done to me. That's very embarrassing to have that happen. Right below that, 1 Timothy 5:24. And this goes along the line of the idea that your sin's going to find you out. 5:24, some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow afterward. And right after that, Ecclesiastes 10:20, almost the same thing in the Old Testament. And it's interesting how Solomon thought of this, and I'm like, this is pretty interesting. He says, curse not the king, no, not in thy thought, and curse not the rich in thy bedchamber. For a bird of the air shall carry the voice, and that which hath wings shall tell the matter. So he's like, your sin is going to find you out. Eventually, and maybe it's the Lord doing this, working things in a way, or maybe it's your mouth end up getting you in trouble because you speak too much, but your sin will find you out. People will eventually find out what's going to happen. So there's consequences that come with that. I don't have it on the paper, but in Colossians and Ephesians, he talks about, you know, keep filthy communication away from you. Don't, you know, forgive one another, love one another. Don't be lying against people. So we have a lot of commandments in the New Testament that deal with this. An easy one, I don't have verses for it, but is basically the golden rule, what Jesus said. Treat others the way you wish to be treated. If you don't want to be lied about, don't lie about other people. If you say something and you're very careful with your words, okay? But then somebody doesn't like what you say and they go behind your back and they twist things about you and they say it in a slightly different way to make you look bad, then they're slandering you. You wouldn't want them to do that to you. So definitely don't do that to other people. And the golden rule is when Jesus say, treat others the way you wish to be treated. Not treat them the way you have been treated. Treat them the way you wish to be treated. And nobody wants that to happen to them. I remember when I was a kid, my mom and dad would tell me, Joseph, would you want that to happen? I'd be like, I don't care. I don't care if they do that to me. I did care. I was just being proud, okay? Another reason why I have on here, ways to keep yourself from doing these things or reasons why you shouldn't is because of the little saying, the concept, birds of a feather flock together. And you actually, I mean, you don't find that saying in the Bible, but it's just a saying in general. It's true across the board with everybody in every situation. People, you might say something like people of like minds are going to like come together. And you find a few verses like this in the Bible, but you will eventually attract people to you that are just like you because they're going to enjoy listening to the very things that they like to do. So if you're a false accuser and you love gossiping, you know, the juicy gossip about people, well, eventually some people are going to leave. They're going to lose trust in you. They're going to desire to represent Christ. They're going to want to be righteous and holy, like the Bible says. And the people that are going to stick around by you are going to be the people who enjoy that gossip. And eventually, the only friends you're going to have, the only people that are going to be around you are people that are just like you. And ultimately, because of the fact that this is a negative thing, it's going to be very detrimental to your walk with the Lord and your life, and it won't be too long before they start attacking you. You see something similar to this in Proverbs 17:4. On the sheet of paper, it says, a wicked doer, someone who's wicked, giveth heed to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. You want to know why those people are going after that crowd? It's because that's the very thing that they like to listen to. A person who's wicked, they love listening to false lips, to people who lie. And a liar loves listening to people who have a naughty tongue. So that's one idea of it. Another verse to go along with this is, it's on the paper, 2 Timothy 4:3. And I know that this might sound a little weird at first, but bear with me. 2 Timothy 4:3, he says, for the time will come, and so Paul is prophesying about the future. He's telling you what it's going to be like in the last days. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. So we know that's basically, an easy example is, I don't like preaching against sin because it hurts my feelings. So I'm going to go to a place that doesn't preach against sin because it makes me feel good. I'm going to heap to myself teachers having itching ears. But when you really stop and think about it, people have been doing this since the beginning of the world. And righteous people do this too. I heap to myself teachers. What is itching ears? Well, it's a scratch that you have and it feels good. Okay, well, David says that the righteous loves the word of God. So in reality, they do the same thing. If I don't want a wicked speaker, I'm going to do away with that guy and I'm going to go over here and listen to this guy. We find that very more accessible today with all the technology that we have. I mean, you can listen to all different kinds of sermons and messages from thousands of different people. You know, you can heap to yourself anybody that you want. And most times people do this. If you're listening to a sermon on your phone, I'm like, oh, do you like that? And they're like, no, I hate this, but I listen to it anyway. No, people don't do that. You listen to the stuff that you like to hear. And this is one reason why the gossipers are going to flock together. The people who like this kind of doctrine are going to flock together. And the people who don't who say, no, that's not for me. I prefer sound doctrine. I'm going to go over here and I'm going to listen to these people. So that's one reason why you don't want to be caught doing that, why you don't want that to become a part of your life. Because it becomes a part of your identity. The people around you are going to all be doing it. And the people who don't like it, they're not going to be your friends anymore, and they're going to leave. Right after that, okay, one thing that will lead to is the next Bible example is a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Ultimately, one person doing gossip in a group or something like that can leaven and mess up everybody else in that group and end up hurting the people around you. Your sin doesn't just affect you, it affects everybody else. So that's a reason why you wouldn't want to do this and you wouldn't want people doing that to you. In 1 Corinthians 15:3 on the paper, Paul says, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. Paul's telling them, don't be around people that are like this. Don't be around the evil communicators. They're gonna end up corrupting your behavior. They're going to mess you up. 1 Corinthians 11:17, right above that, Paul says, now in this, so this is talking about the Corinthian church, you know, living like babes in Christ and being mean and hating, envying one another, striving against one another. He says, now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. Paul wishes that he could praise them. He wished I could say, man, y'all are really serving the Lord together just like the Ephesian church. But no, they're not. They're living like people who don't love God in the way that they act. And when they get together, it's not for the good, it's for the worse. They're hurting one another with their words, with their mouths, falsely accusing each other, envying, backbiting one another. And this is something where one person doing this, like Judas Iscariot did this. Like you brought that example up, Brian. Well, when that woman was anointing Jesus with oil, I don't know if that was Mary or the other Mary, but she was doing that, and it says that he's the one that started doing that accusing, and it eventually spread to the other disciples, and pretty soon everyone's saying, why are you wasting this oil? This could have been sold for the poor. Well, the one little seed, that negative, nasty, filthy seed got planted, and it started affecting everybody else's mind, the way that they were thinking. And pretty soon everybody was saying what that one crooked person was saying. So a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Proverbs 4 on that sheet of paper, 14-16. This is very, very serious. This is not the one that I'm thinking of. Never mind. All right. But anyways, Solomon says here, or the Lord says through Solomon, enter not into the path of the wicked. That's a commandment. And go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. Just in case anybody is confused, he's pretty specific. Okay? And now he's going to tell you why you want to do that. He's going to tell you the mindset of a wicked man. For they sleep not, except they have done some mischief. And their sleep is taken away unless they cause someone to fall. Now that's talking about a wicked man. That also sounds like a gossiper too. Someone who likes spreading lies against people. Eventually, they're going to end up leavening the whole lump. They're going to end up corrupting everybody in there. Why? Because they can't stand to not open up their mouth and shoot it off about things that they don't know what they're talking about. They just have to say these things. Why? Because it's in their heart and it has to get out. And it ends up corrupting everybody else little by little. So that's no bueno. Proverbs 26:20. Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. So when they're there, they're going to be lighting fires and starting fires. And once they go away, the fires stop. Well, what do you think the fires are? Well, the fire is going to be wickedness and strife and hatred stirring up in the group. And that's why they're going to end up hurting the people that, like, again, like they claim to love, but they don't. Here's the other verse I was thinking of. The last one, Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. It's right there on the paper below the other one. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Little do people know that a lying tongue and a false witness that speaketh lies actually ends up sowing discord among the brethren. This is one thing when you lie about other people and you're gossiping and slandering and it's kind of going from person to person, it ends up sowing discord among the brethren. You're leavening the entire group. And God says this is an abomination in my eyes. He hates it when people do this. So we got to make sure that we never find ourselves on that side of the line. The last example that I had in here, this went after my example of representing Christ. This was the very next thought that I had. Feels good. Okay, so yeah, a little leaven leavened the whole lump. I had a note here. I forgot that I made it. It feels good while you're doing it because of our flesh, but you end up grieving the Holy Ghost and you feel like garbage afterwards. Nobody actually feels good for a long period of time who's a gossiper. Okay, it might be that juicy gossip, like it says in Hebrews, you know, Moses could have enjoyed the pleasures of sin for a season, but he chose to suffer with the reproach of Christ. Yeah, sin brings pleasure for a season. Slandering, gossip might feel good the second that you do it, but you're going to feel horrible afterwards, so that's not good. Anyways, after we're supposed to be a representation of Jesus Christ, we're supposed to carry his name. Okay, well, the next thought that I had is, in the same way that you're supposed to be an example for lost people, you're also supposed to be an example for the youth and the people under you, the younger crowd. Titus 2, verses 3 through 5. It's on the paper. And I go over this one. I did this before. It's because Paul spells it out so simply for the women. So it's the same thing for men, but it's worded so good for women, and that's why I use this example. So it goes for men too, okay? But Titus 2, verses 3 through 5, Paul says, the aged women, so this is a commandment that he's telling Titus to give to the aged women. And they're supposed to then turn and do something else. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. So when a younger woman cannot look up to an older woman for an example, because maybe the older woman or the older man, it's either or, but they're a slanderer or a backbiter or a gossiper, that is a horrible situation to be in. I remember when Anissa and I first got married, I was telling her, like, these people over here, you ain't going to hang around with them because they're backbiters, they're gossipers, and I don't want that influencing you. I heard a woman tell her before, sitting at a table, I was overhearing the conversation, the woman told her, I know I shouldn't be saying this, but, and right then and there, oh, I just started getting so frustrated. And I was thinking to myself, I was like, you need to shut your mouth, like right now. If you know that you're not supposed to be saying something, you're literally testifying out loud that you're about to sin against God. Like, this is serious. So younger people should never have to say, not to sound prideful or bragging myself or anything, but not to sound prideful or anything, but even I know how to keep my mouth shut. Saying that about an older person. Like, even I know that we're not supposed to gossip about people. Could you imagine, like, a younger person saying this about somebody that's old, a Christian who's been around for a long time, been saved for several years, and they overhear false accusations being made, and they're like, I'm not trying to brag on myself, I'm not trying to be prideful, but, like, I know that this is wrong. Why are they doing this? That is a horrible testimony that we can make for ourselves if the younger generation ends up hearing us do stuff like this. And I did not realize it was going to take this long. I'm literally halfway through. I thought I was going to get through those, like, quick. Because the other section is ways that you can shut down these forms in others, ways you can keep yourself from being influenced by other people. So, yeah. 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 But yeah, I mean, when you're dealing with this and with the other section too, like, because of the fact that we're Christians, because we read the Bible, we study the Word of God, we should have a biblical mindset. So some of these situations are going to occur in personal, private life, maybe with family and things like that. You overhear things saying, but a large part of it is also going to end up being in religious circles, discussing doctrine, other denomination. Like, if you're thinking about the Bible all the time, this is a big part of your life. So the second part that I have is literally broken up into two sections. One is, like, you know, within your personal family, things like that. People come and backbiting about their cousin or something. What should you do in a situation like that? But on the flip side, it's like even preaching, you know, people talking about other denominations, stuff like that sometimes gets out of hand. And you find out, hey, some of these accusations ain't true. It's just literally just flat out lying. And we need to be careful about what we say. So, get some. Does anybody else have anything on the personal things? Ways to keep yourself from these things or reasons why you shouldn't do it? I tried to be thorough. Amen. Yeah. Do it because we're loving God, loving the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's not pleasing to Him. The what?
Pray for discernment.
Yeah.
It is.
That it is. Isabella said, pray for discernment so that we know what is true, what is false. We can, yeah, have good judgment, have good discernment, know what to do. The Bible gives a few examples to how to handle situations like this. So, but yeah, we'll go over that later. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us. And thank you. Thank you for giving us your word and for teaching us how to live how you want us to live. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and help us to be more like him. He was harmless and he spoke truth constantly, Lord. He never backbited or gossiped about anybody. He always told, didn't falsely accuse people. He was a true witness. Thank you, Lord, and please help us be like him, be conformed to his image. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.